Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about performance notes for a concert, a classical music concert. And before you switch off, a lot of readers will switch off pretty instantly, there's gems in here. There's Joseph Stalin. There's a little role play. There were people who died on the way to the concert to perform their own work. There's intellectualism. There's recruiting music from the Hungarian army. All of this, you go up and you have no idea this is going to come along. And I sort of feel that this music, I've got a very poor retention for music or listening to it. I can't really get into the mood of it, thinking like that. So I think that's my own shortcoming. So I sort of feel a bit like an imposter sitting up there listening to it. I sort of see sort of side things where everyone's listening to the main thing. I'm sort of noting side aspects to it. And so listening to this is an incredibly intense experience. And this is at the Opera House. There were three players, one person, a woman on a violin, a person in his late 30s on the clarinet, and an older person my age, probably around 60, on the piano. And they gave several things. Melbourne Recital Centre, Sydney Opera House, and Newcastle Art Gallery. And so this is pretty amazing. And they gave four pieces, and I'll read it to you. The performance lasts approximately 90 minutes without intervals. That's called the Amiga Ensemble, and they say acknowledgement of country. And it says, the Amiga Ensemble acknowledges the traditional custodians of the lands on which we perform. We pay our respects to elders, both past and present, and extend our respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, Australians. So this is bizarre as it gets. Not, I think it's okay. Now, there's the four people. It's, if I read it to you now, it's not worth it. So just have a listen to this, because you're going to get some interesting feeling, and you sort of get an interesting that has intellectualism left behind. Is this what people feel when you show them equations? They go, I have not got a clue. I know my small change, I know my salary, I know buying a house, things like that. I know saving up money to run a car and all that sort of stuff, but any equations, the math. So for me, music's probably like other people's stuff. And I'm going to sneeze a little bit, but the first one was Sonata for Clarinet and Piano. That's, well, a sonata, sort of like a mini symphony. So it's by Francis Poulenc from 1899 to 1963. So he died at 64, composed in 1962, so not got a long time left. And there's three movements. Allegretto tristamente, allegretto, romanza tre calm, very calm, algo confuso, tre animi, very excited, I suppose, 1, 2, and 3. Now let's listen to like those of his countrymen, Claude Debussy, the French composer, Francis Poulenc's last works are unfinished set of sonatas, in this case for flute, clarinet, and oboe, each with piano. So a piano, a sonata is perhaps just a few instruments. Poulenc's earliest chamber works were infused with slightly sardonic tones of neoclassicism, which characterized much of the music written by the group known as Les Six in France between the World Wars. The late works maintain something of a deceptively simple character for such works and retain the classical three-movement design. But at the same time, deeply expressive. So, normally I couldn't write like this. I would murder that sentence to make it much more succinct. But it's sort of interesting that this is music talk. Poulenc was, after all, a mature artist who had experienced the full horror of World War II and who had discovered great comfort in the return to religion. Incidentally, the clarinet sonata contains a quotation from Pulik's well-loved setting of the Gloria, on which, to the annoyed frustration of his publisher, he worked during 59 and 60. See, isn't that beautiful? 60, delaying the completion of the sonata. Isn't what beautiful English? It's convoluted, just horrible, unscientific English. Beautiful, beautiful English here. Pulik eventually returned to the clarinet sonata, whose slow movement he had composed first and completed in 1962, some months before his death in January 63. The premiere, given in April that year, took place at a memorial concert at Carnegie Hall with Benny Goodman, for whom it was composed, and Leonard Bernstein on the piano. So people know who Benny Goodman and Leonard Bernstein is on the piano, so it's pretty amazing to hear. What beautiful sentence structure. It's sort of, it is musical sentence structure. He's got different musical instruments going in his sentence structure. It's beautiful to listen to him. Pulik was particularly good at writing music in a relatively fast tempo, which sounds melancholy, a feat managed in the first movement of both sonatas for flute and clarinet. Here, after a few bars of angular, energetic gestures, the clarinet spins out a, isn't that beautiful, first theme that contains hints of the provoking harmonic sidesteps, a rhythmic pattern reminiscent of Non più d'andre from Mozart's Marriage of Figaro. So, I wouldn't be able to hear this in a million years. You know, people, it's amazing the training. Much of the movement is given over to the elaboration of the introspective slower interval of the three quarters before the brief reprise of the first theme. The slow movement of the clarinet sonata is one of the most beautiful in the repertoire. Also, in the triple time, is replete with lyrical melodies for both instruments, punctuated by searching, passionate outbursts, working towards a brief promise of a major key resolution in the final moments. I suppose to your trained ear, like I really think it's really clacky. The I do listen to film sound scores, and it works for me because I've got enough clues to get what's going on. It's repeated enough times and enough strains. But this classical music is all almost like stuff on a drill. Pulik was once described as having something of the monk and something of the rascal in him. You ever said that? And in science, you have to quote who said that one. And it's the rascal who comes to the fore in the finale, a work which recalls the witty burlesque of his early work, though it doesn't preclude him from including one more lyrical tune that's gone as soon as her. Ichi Pulik's late chamber works commemorates a particular friend. The clarinet sonata is dedicated to Swiss composer Arthur Herngeger. Like Pulik, one of the group known as Le Six, who died in 55, though journalist Norman Lautrec considers the work premonitions of Pulik's own imminent death. Well, how can you say? Béla Bartók, 1881 to 1945, contrast, composed in 38. The Bunkus recruiting game, whatever that means. Filhino relaxation, Serbs fast dance. Isn't that the most amazing thing? Okay. In 1903, the young Bartók began collecting folk music in Hungary and neighbouring regions such as Slovakia, Transylvania and other parts of Romania. In 1912 and 13, he travelled as far afield as Norway, North Africa and France. So this is before World War I. And of course, of his life, would also study and collect music from Turkey and the Balkans. His interest had begun when he and his colleague Zoltán Kodály were seeking new sounds for their own work, but soon came to realise that he was preserving something on the verge of extinction. His rural subjects often couldn't understand why a gentleman wanted them to sing for him. Later in life, he described his belief in, quote, "The brotherhood of people, brotherhood in spite of all wars and conflicts, I try, to the best of my ability, to serve this idea in my music. Therefore, I don't reject any influence, be it Slavic, Romanian, Arabic, or from any other source." In the second half of the 30s were the most productive years of Bartók's career as a composer. Orchestra works alone from this time include the Violin Concerto, Divertimento, and arguably his masterpiece, Music for Strings, Percussion, and Celesta in 1936. Most of Bartók's output at this time arose from specific commissions or invitations from specific musicians. Jazz clarinet legend Benny Goodman instigated this work of Bartók's. In its title refers to Bartók's emphasis on the difference of timbre of techniques between the three instruments, with no apparent attempt to blend them. It was first performed in New York in 1939 with Bartók at piano, Goodman at clarinet, and the great Joseph Tresghetti on violin. Isn't that amazing? You know, this was, I don't know how this high culture got into. A musical image of the brotherhood of peoples. The work instigates numerous stylistic sources. The first movement is Verbunkus, a dance. Look at Verbunkus. Verbunkos, a dance related to the Cassandras, used as a male bonding exercise to recruit young men into the army of the Hungarian-speaking parts of Europe in the 18th century. Such dances began with stately grave passages on 4/4, usually in a minor key, known as the Lassan or Lassu dance by senior officers. This is contrasted with exciting and fast sections called the Frisco or Fris, which the young soldiers and potential recruits took part. Isn't that amazing? After the dance your way to war, Hungarian war, after the rhythmical contrast of the Verbunkus, which ends with a florid clarinet cadenza, the relaxation movement creates a sense of profound immobility. That's what I call relaxation, just being zonked out. Bartók cultivated such states in those pieces known as the night music, in the outdoor suite, or the music for strings, percussion, and celestra. Here, the medley instruments wander in simple counterpoint with isolated interpolations from the piano. Later, the movement, the music dissolves in trills and tremolos. Gee whiz, my brain is just not geared up for any of this, but I just love the person recruiting music. The fast dance begins with open strings fiddling from the violin, leading into Bartókian motto Perpetuo, interrupted by equally Bartókian reversals. So Bartók, he's got something unique to him. Another explicitly quiet passage is dispelled by the Bartókian piano writing and nods to Gershwin and balancing the clarinet's cadenza, the opening movement, and the violin is a breathtaking movement of the sun before the breakneck final moments. Breathtaking moment in the sun, whatever it is. Okay, there's Bartók. I must admit, I sort of like the music. I didn't get any of the mood of it, unfortunately. It shows that as most people can't do maths, I can't do music. Dmitri Shostakovich, 1906 to 1975, Violin Sonata, Opus 134, composed in 68, Andante Allegretto Largo. In early 1967, Shostakovich was recuperating after a heart attack from which he never fully recovered and was finding composition difficult. What a fantastic sentence. This is beautiful. Now, writing to his friend Isaac Gilkman, he noted that he, like Tchaikovsky, had lived longer than he should have, and that he had, quote, "become disillusioned with myself. I'm very dull and mediocre composer. However, a composition of music, an affliction in my nature of a disease, haunts me." he soldiered on producing a number of masterpieces like Violin Sonata, composed in 68, though not completed in time for its purpose, the 60th birthday of the legendary virtuoso David Osikar. Shostakovich had composed his two violin concertos, Osaka and the first in 1947, through Shostakovich, prudently waited to Stalin's death before releasing the work. This is what is really interesting. And the second in 1967. Ostrati and composer pianist Mieczysław Weinberg gave a repetitiously received performance of the sonata to the Russian Union of Composers in 1969. The official premiere was given later that year in Warszawa and Stawka Rector. The sonata exaggerated the tonal difference of the two instruments. The opening movement begins with a disembodied theme for piano and starts by a more legato, searching melody of the violin. The music here is derived from the 12-note row or series. Through Shostakovich, like his friends and colleagues, Benjamin Britten only used the method to create melody. Similar process appears to contemporary works like 14th Symphony and 7th Romance of Poems by Alexander Bloch. Here, the effect is almost one of aimless wandering through bleak landscape. Well, God. The music is enlivened briefly by characteristic sardonic passages in Gavetta. This is beyond my human comprehension. Rhyme, but fails to generate much momentum, lapsing back into bleakness. When the Gavetta material does return to, it is reduced to obsessive rhythms stated by piano under icy shivers of flutato figures of the violin. The second movement is typical Shostakovich allegretto, with often abrasive violin writing and brittle upper register piano figurations that recall xylophones, with muscular themes stated in the left hand, the movement seemingly relentlessly unfolding abruptly and unexpectedly. Amazing. I would have to listen to it so many times to get any of this. The finale is slowly unfolding Prasilga, with which, again, 12-note material characterized at first by open fourth of the piano and a pizzicato response from the violin. This is, I think, with you, plick, plick, plick. The constant circulation of the 12 notes contributes to a sense of pervasive unease despite the form's inevitable evocation of the Baroque. As Pasilla's theme or ground, with hints of Leningrad Symphony's March, repeats, Shostakovich explores various textures, a few of them opulent, again underlying the difference in timbre between the instruments. The movement's climax include extravagant passage of a concerto-like writing for piano that provides a trill-dominated cadenza for the violin. From here, the music winds down gradually but exhilarably. One last rhythmic gesture peters out amid the violin's inconsolable shivering. To me, this went totally over my head. I'm sorry. But it should give you an idea. So it's interesting, this type of stuff. Now, here's a bit of Stalin. Abram Karunchurian, 1903-78. Trio in G minor for violin, clarinet, and piano. I'll look up these three movements. I won't read them. Just an old, briefly independent from World War I, the Caucasian nations of Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Georgia were Sovietized in the early 1920s. What brilliant writing is that? How brilliant is that written? Bolshevik governments were formed, with the Red Army suppressing any resistance, and the three countries were, for a time, ruled from the Georgian capital, Tbilisi. Promising young people were given higher education in Moscow, but Lenin's policy of putting down roots also saw the encouragement of local party membership and support for local languages in education and official use. This is implemented by the young Georgian ex-Seminarian Yosif Chukavi, later known as Joseph Stalin. So he's a priest. This Stalin was a priest. My God. He completely reversed the policy when he seized power soon afterwards. Born, I think this is, I don't know what it is. Born in Tbilisi to Armenian parents in 1903, Abram Kaudouchian was in his late teens. So there's the there's Armenia, the Armenians and the Kurds. I really don't quite understand it. Was in his later teens when Sovietization happened, and was sent to Moscow to study in 1922. His first subject was biology, but he soon switched to music, studying cello at the Gassini Institute and composition at the Moscow Conservatory, and writing music for the Armenian language theatre directed by his brother. By 1932, Kurjachian was a member of the Composers' Union, in which he rose to become an office holder. Like many Soviet composers, he was obliged to produce noisy, patriotic works for film scores, and was the subject of inevitable physical official denunciation alongside with Shostakovich and Prokhorov in 1948. I just love this. Okay. In the 1930s and 40s saw much of his most significant music. The pieces such as Trio for Clarinet, Violin and Piano of Violin and Piano of 1932, in attracting international notice for its blend of coarse Caucasian folk music and Western form. Kachatorian's design uses slower outer movements to frame the central Algeria. So I sort of get this a bit, but really didn't go. The first is dominated by a stately procession of chords on the piano, while the melody instruments produce a tracery of lines derived from the motif of three quavers followed by a fast flourish. The ornamentation and gapped modes derived from the Armenian folk music, as is the rhythmic elasticity and occasional displacement of the beat. The central movement, effectively a scherzo with a various contrasting dance rhythm, likewise displays characteristics of local folk music. It tends to use narrow intervals and frequent repetition with florid ornamentation and strong beats. It gathers a momentum through a whirlwind of unison triplets before the full-throated reprise. I feel so stupid. This makes me feel so stupid. The tune that the clarinet represents, unaccompanied at the start of the final movement, is said to be Uzbek origin. And this forms the basis of a series of variations in which Kurchatov masterfully exploits the full range and colour expression of the ensemble. Notes by Gordon Kerry. So whoever Gordon Kerry is, he is just amazing. Now one wonders that how much of that is just, you know, many times this is the these things, you have a piece, and these are not Wikipedia pieces, but these are well known. So the violinist, amazing. Look, all these people just blew me away, because look, I can't even beat a big pair of spoons. I can't even clap it. You know, when I have to clap in time, the audience, everyone's clapping, I'm not clapping in time. So that's how unmusical I am. And there's Anna De Silva Chen. Amazing. Look, this, yeah. Just how David Rowan clarinet, again, just how he just knew, and and Clemens Leske on the piano, just these, the symphony, Sydney Symphony Orchestra. How do they do it? It's totally beyond me. I should imagine people who don't know quantum mechanics and don't know advanced maths would feel probably the same. Not that I'm saying that it's anything like it. And there's various partners, Creative Partnerships Australia, University of Western Sydney, something called Cambler, Adina Apartments and Hotels, Paradise Family Foundation, Pommery Champagnes, and the Hub Australian. So there's the ensemble. Contact the AmigaEnsemble.com. Yeah. And so David Roan is the artistic director of the ensemble. Just beyond me how much intellectualism and history goes in. The average person, I'm sort of contrasting this to people who join pop bands and work on a single 3-minute piece, get it together and sell it to a recording things. So I think it's really interesting, the actual structure of the industry determining what gets played and who listens and responds. And I think people are very much into ringtones compared to what this is. I wonder what these people would have made out of these Russian composers. The question is, how come these people are so brilliant and how come they're all dead? And I don't know. Not that all. I know why they're all dead, but how come they were in this thing? So Francis Poulenc, French. Bela Bartok, Hungarian, I suppose. Shostakovich and Kachurian, Soviets. Under Stalin. And how people... You can imagine capitalist people hating the whole lot of them. And obviously, they're all individuals. Okay, that's my thought on that. Reading through, I just found that entire thing absolutely fascinating. Thanks for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.